This is in response to a question that Jackie and I have gotten to help people answer more and more often recently. So we decided that if people are asking us, that it's probably a little bit more general in application than just the handful of people we've talked to. So we decided to actually kind of put this together. And that is a situation, of course, in the High Plains of Texas, most of our land that's rented is share rented as opposed to cash lease. We're looking at most of our furrow irrigated cotton budgets that we've put together don't cash flow with what we're spending for water and fertilizer and what happens to water and fertilizer. In our typical furrow irrigated, we don't, I heard a presentation on laser leveling in Arizona. You know, we're pretty much just going with the lay of the land, and so, you know, we're really just to the point now with as expensive as irrigation fuel is, fertilizer, all those things are, we're really not cash flowing on that row watered land. A lot of our properties that are row watered today aren't suitable for center pivots, either by the dimensions or the size. Just not really real cost effective there. And so what we wanted to do then was look at what's the best method to pay for the installation of subsurface drip irrigation. I probably will refer to that as just SDI later on in this. So here's our situation. We start out a 100-acre furrow irrigated farm. Chose 100 acres because that's not a pivot size. A yield of about 750 pounds, which is fairly typical that we see on these properties. Share leased at 75-25, where the operator gets 75% of production, landowner gets 25%. They share fertilizer and insecticide, boll weevil, and ginning costs, but not harvest expense. And that is a fairly typical arrangement in our area. Just for kind of the ease, the farm program will play into this, and so we without trying to have it unduly influence it, we just said all acres were cotton based at the same yield we used as an APH yield, which was the 750. That all resulted in a net farm income that the landlord receives to go towards. This does not include anything except taxes on his part and his shared expenses. So this is his return to land is $97.70. The renter, without anything taken out for family living or management expense, he has an income of $880 on this 100-acre farm. That's where we started from. So what we wanted to look at, install the SDI system. We've seen in these kinds of situations, if they had ample water to do it, that a lot of our yields are running about 1,500 pounds on those systems. Total system cost for an 80-inch row system of about $1,000 per acre. With input costs last year going crazy, that got really high mid-year. Plastics went up, and you know, but in the past we've been running somewhere near that. And then we also assumed a 50% equip cost share, which has been really typical in our area. Again, until the 2009 year, many of our counties are backing off from that 50% cost share on equip. So keep that in mind as we go forward. But this is kind of looking at the way things have been. And then we just looked at an amortization, a payment schedule, 5 years at 5%. Which is just kind of a mid-range between FSA loans and bank loans and what we're looking at right now. So the different payment options that we looked at was one just to look at a cash lease of the system. That would be also the same. I had the question on this is what if the renter pays for the system. Well, that would be the same as the cash lease for 5 years. That's making the whole payment where the tenant's making all the payment. So that would be equivalent to the tenant being the one who paid for the system. Or another option where we kind of share the risk and share the payment of this system is to temporarily change our share lease agreement to a two-thirds, one-third. We did it in our model because for 3 years, because that was something that we couldn't vary. One of the agreements that we have looked at is taking a typical return and changing the share rental agreement until the drip system is paid for out of the increased revenue. I just did that calculation and found out it would take 3 years because I had to plug in a solid number into the model that we used here. Fourth year, we just go back to the standard 75-25. Okay, and so right to the results on this too. These fan graphs that we use, anybody's familiar with our farm assistance program, we boil everything down to where we run the simulation model, which gives us 100 results. It runs 100 times per year. And then this represents where those values fall. The middle purple line is the mean line, the average of those 100 runs. The gray area represents where 50% of the values fell. And then between the orange and pink line is where 90% of all the values fell. So we start out, we're looking at the renter, furrow irrigation versus just paying cash lease for the SDI system. You can see on here that he starts at very close to zero on the mean. That was at $880. And with the cost price squeeze that's forecast by FAPRI, that is the baseline that we use in our model, takes him immediately below zero on the mean in 2010, and gets to where 90% of his values by 2018 are pretty much below zero. Not a sustainable situation. Even where the renter himself pays for the whole system by making the payment, the mean in the fifth year is that cost price squeeze comes together, gets him back down to about zero, as you can see in that purple line, which is where he would have been on the furrow anyway. But now he's actually got a pretty good boost in his range of possible outcomes. Instead of a maximum income of $10,000 in that first year, 2009, he's got a maximum probable income in that 50% range of a little over $40,000. So it at least gives him a much better chance. So I spent a little more time on that one than I'm going to spend on the rest, just to kind of get you the idea of how these fan graphs work. Okay, so the next comparison is for the landlord and what happens. The landlord basically puts the system in with no risk because the tenant's paying for the entire system. He goes from his annual income, which you can see all those bars are really tight. Those ranges are tight. The landlord makes the $9,700 a year with very little risk around that right now. The landlord in our model was purchasing crop insurance, same as the tenant does. So he's held where he has the expense of his taxes and all the expenses he pays, and pretty much bottoms out his income at zero. With the cash lease SDI, he's still at the 5% level, is still at least zero or above, but now his projected income jumps to over $20,000 a year during the cash lease period, where he's getting all the benefit of the extra yield and he's getting the system paid for. And then once it is paid for, he's building some equity in that system, because he owns the system and he's being paid that cash lease. But even then, his income only drops down to, I think it's about $18,000 in the out years, or it's still nearly double what he made before. So good benefit there. When we look at the net profit to the renter doing the share lease, one of the things to note here is that I just got the furrow comparison I already had before, just so you can see them side by side. Now the risk of a zero loss is not as big for the renter. The landlord's sharing in that risk with him. He still has that good range of possible incomes that are much greater than he had in the Pearl situation, but without quite as much risk as he had in the cash lease. And then we can see then the landlord, if he's paying a third of those expenses, and he's paying for that system, he actually now has some risk of loss. So he's sharing in the risk, but now with the one-third share lease, his possible incomes are considerably greater than they were. And the system under this agreement gets paid for in 3 years, and we go back to 75-25, and everybody is making more money than they were in the furrow irrigate situation. So just to kind of compare them side by side, since they were on separate slides, for the renter, the cash lease SDI system, it gets a little tight on him in those 5 years that he's paying for the whole system. It's not quite so tight if he's got the landlord sharing in that risk. Same thing with the landlord. He's going to get a little more money if he cash leases the system to the farmer until it's paid for. But, you know, it's all a matter of, if you don't have somebody there to farm the farm, you make nothing. So, it doesn't hurt him too much to go in and help share the risk on paying for that system. And this is just another way to demonstrate that. Don't pay attention to the lines. The bars are what I'm really interested in here. And this is the probability of this, the renter in furrow versus cash, the red bars being the furrow, his probability of losing money, of having a negative cash flow on this property. 98% is just about as high as it gets in this model. Pretty much a sure thing. By the end of this simulation, 2018, his risk of a loss, because he's built some equity there, is down to only 13%, and it's never higher than 36-37%. For the landlord, he maintains virtually no risk of a loss here. There's a slight risk in the initial year of investment of about 6%. Okay, and one of the things to note here is that compared to furrow irrigating, the share lease, much less risk of a loss for the renter, but it does increase the risk of a loss up to 27% for the landlord, then 17, then as that thing gets paid for, we go back to our normal arrangement. We're back to very little probability of a loss to the rent, to the landlord. So to just lay those in side by side, the red bars represent the probability of a loss for the cash lease option, so that lasts for 5 years, stays up in the mid-30s. The 3 years of a third share start out at 33% and then go to 27 and then kind of go on down to the 9%. Both of them are very minimal in the out years then, once we get going and get that thing paid for. For the landlord then, again, this is just side by side, 6% risk of loss in that first year for the cash lease option, where the tenant's paying all the payment, and then 27% if he's actually sharing. So we're transferring that risk that was reduced off the tenant is put onto the landlord, but it's still not excessive. So to get into the average results across the 10 years, let's get right to the farm profit. If we stay with the furrow situation, the 10-year average loss per year is $14,760 for the renter, and the landlord averages $9,320. In a cash lease, our renter goes up to $12,600, and the landlord goes up to $22,600, so both are better off. And in the third share lease, the renter's income goes to $16,780 and the landlord to $18,040. Again, that's nearly double what he was making before, and he's able to help share the risk with his tenants so that he stays in business. So, conclusions then is that we do believe that the landlord can pay for the cost of the system with additional income. Roughly 3 years in a third share lease agreement. Agreements that we've helped people work out usually include some kind of a baseline to that, and then all the extra income goes to paying for the system. So it might take 3.5 years if things don't go well, or 4 years. It'd be lumpy. It'd be 3 or 4 or 5 years. So the other thing is, if we don't get that 50% cost share, it will take longer. So if it took 3 years with cost share and you got no cost share, then it takes 6 years. That's pretty straightforward. So in either way, I think there is ability for landlords to increase their income, increase the income of the renter, and everybody be better off and share a little bit of the risk by using that third share agreement. Thank you.